All right. Good morning, everybody. I do not look like Rick. Rick does not look like me. And all right, we're going to go ahead and get started. I do believe Rick is old, right? Are we waiting?
I have asked him. I know.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay. We'll go ahead and get started since we have quorum. We'll call the meeting to order at 8:40. First item on the agenda, opening remarks. I'm just going to sing. So first of all, thank you for those that are present. I know summer's a hard time. First I want to recognize, very importantly, our Port Houston. I believe they're with us. Yes, can we have y'all stand up? We need to acknowledge you, clap for you. Those of you probably are well familiar if you've been to the port before, but we have, let's say, I think it's 20 interns representing 10 schools. I will say, while I've known about the internship program, it is getting even more selective and more selective year by year. We had lots and lots of applications. The commissioners did not have to sit through and make the hard decision who to pick for this program, but in hearing all the numbers and the statistics, it was a very difficult program to get into. So kudos to y'all. Congratulations, number one. Two, you all get to do some fun stuff. They go on tours. They kind of learn about every facet of the port. So really hope that y'all are enjoying it. Thank you for being here. It makes us very happy as commissioners to be able to provide support these internships. So thank you and congratulations. Thank y'all for being here today. I also mentioned Charlie was a Houston Port intern. I will not date him.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean,
stone tablets and chisels.
Yeah.
You were the first.
Yeah. But, you know, so we're not going to date you, but he was.
Well, I also believe you were an intern.
So not here, but still, I get some cred. So thank y'all. We're proud to contribute to your workforce development. All right. On business highlights, an update on our ship channel. As you may recall, we have proactively advanced funding for our Houston ship channel, our Project 11. We completed the port-led portion of Project 11 last fall on time, on budget. Has had a tremendous benefit for users of the channel. Increased capacity through Galveston Bay and proven to be very, very effective as we export American energy out to the world. It's increased safety, allowed for larger ships, reduced delays, relaxed daylight restrictions. You all know the highlights that we give you every month on what that's helped. So as an update, we are now getting questions on Project 12. So just a quick update. We are we've received our word of approval to study Project 11, but still at stages. We don't have a timeline yet on when that study will kick off. This will primarily be a deepening project. It will improve economies of scale for our vessels. We are currently collaborating with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, our partner ports, Galveston and Texas City, Gulf Texan District, and various of our industry companies to really determine the best study approach in our expansion needs as we move forward. And then we, just as an aside, we have likely many more months before we have any other updates, but just know it's something that we are working on. And then lastly, one of the things I want to share is that we are going to have our annual community grants program today. We will talk about grant recipients today that are on the table to receive those awards. I think I speak for all of the commissioners when I say this is a privilege to be able to get to be able to impact our communities in this way. And it's something that we take great pride in. We've committed more than $8 million in our neighboring communities now, which is very important to us to do. And that's just one avenue for us to support our local. So if you find this entertaining and me cheering, I'll also be cheering that. So you can find me here after this meeting. I'll be here all day. That's it for me, Charlie.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Wendy. I really greatly appreciate it. So first, I want to recognize several members of our staff who have reached major. I believe it'll be scrolling on the screen. I know it was a few minutes ago. We have 18 people, though, who are celebrating 20 or more years. Several of them are here today. I'm going to ask them all to please stand when I say your name. And let's hold our applause to the end just to keep it going smoothly. And then we'll congratulate the group as they stand. It's not everybody. A lot of the folks are out working in the field. So first, we have Samuel Cadena, PCM. Dan. Myra Ruiz, Terminal Technology and Innovation, 20 years. She might be online. Then we have John Vining, Bayport Maintenance, 20 years. Saw John. Thank you for being here. Two guys from the fire department, Kevin Rogerson and James Smith, both at 20. Thank you, gentlemen. Letitia Jones, legal, 25 years. Seems like yesterday. Michael Jignak, Port Maintenance, 25 years. And also online, we have Angela Wackett from Bayport Terminal, 30 years, who's attending remotely, as I said. So please join me in congratulating the staff and those not. Truly a dedicated group, and it's greatly appreciated. I also want to recognize a member of our leadership team, Amy Seymour, in the green jacket. Evidently, she just won the Masters. Just kidding. Amy is our Chief Security and Emergency Operations Officer. On behalf of her safety team, Port Houston, Amy just won the 2026 Safety Innovator of the Year Award at the National Maritime Safety Association annual meeting and award earlier this month in California. It's a big deal. This is truly a great honor for Amy and also speaks to the terrific safety program we have here. Our success shows in the metrics. The industry total incident rate average for what we do is 2.4. At Port Houston, we currently reside at 0.65. Very, very well done. The industry lost time incident rate averages 1.5, and we also are below that at 1.3. So, Amy, or excuse me, 0.13. Amy, thank you for what your team does. The port is truly committed to providing a safe and healthy environment for our port and ILA employees, our other users. Amy and our team and our culture are committed to continually improve with the philosophy of never done when it relates to safety. It's part of our each and every day. So congratulations, Amy. Congratulations to the entire safety team. Congratulations to all employees that engage in the safety culture, which is everybody. And thank you all for your commitment to keeping our team members safe. Now, a few more items to go through. So a few weeks ago, we were notified by the federal government that they have put our Barbers Cut Northside expansion permit into a program called FAST 41. It is really an honor. It's reserved for the largest, most critical projects in it. It's really not about speed. It's about transparency and alignment and making sure it all gets done very well. It does not reduce any of the obligations of the process. It just makes them in a much more with more integrated agency leadership, as I understand. It helps prioritize the projects with the various agencies. And again, importantly, it does not bypass any steps of the permitting process or, but provides that increased transparency and focus on the national level. This is really a good thing for our project. As you know, Barbers Cut North is one of our site alternatives that we're working. And this is a long process. It's a step in a long process. And we think it will be roughly about 2 years to get through the permitting. Schedules have not been yet determined as this just happened, but we're working on that outcome. We do have plans with our existing terminal footprints to accommodate the building a terminal right takes a lot of time. And that's why we're taking these steps now. So we're ready as the need develops. Now, some fascinating news about how the overall port's doing. Our deep draft vessel visits year to date are up 8. That is a remarkable number as the largest port in the nation. And as you've heard us say, as many ships as New York, New Jersey, LA, and Long Beach combined, we're up 8%. Tonnage for our Houston Ship Channel region is up 16.5% for the entire port. 16.5. Now, the public terminals, the first half of the year isn't quite as good as part of those numbers, but it's up 3% in container volumes. And you'll be hearing more detail about both of those items and Ryan, Chris's remarks a little bit later. And then lastly, I want to provide an update on our CFO, Tim Finley. As many of you are aware, Tim has been managing very significant health, and he's made the difficult decision at this time to step away from his day-to-day responsibility and spend more time with his family. Tim will remain at Port Houston as a member of the executive leadership team on a limited basis and will serve as an advisory capacity through December when he intends to fully retire. Chris Edwards at the table is assumed the role of interim CFO, overseeing our accounting, financial planning, treasury, enterprise risk management. And he and the team are doing a good job. We have a stable environment, and I appreciate what you and what your team is doing, Chris. Now, Tim, throughout his nearly 16-year tenure at Port Houston, has made an extraordinary contribution to our organization. He's helped us maintain an enviable financial position. I thank him, and our team thanks him, for all that he's given to Port Houston. He has our full support as he focuses on his health and his family. That's the end of my remarks.
Thank you. I will add on while talk about Tim's career here, but he is honestly one of the nicest, kindest humans I have ever met. And when I first got on the port, he was one of the first to say, call me on anything, let's go over whatever you want to. Just so thank you for that. Those statements. Commissioners, anything else? All right. We'll move into approval of minutes. So, need a motion and second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Minutes pass. All right. We're moving into appearances next, right, Charlie?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, we have two speakers today. As a reminder, we value and appreciate public engagement in Port Commission meeting. I have to read this. This is the legal item I have to read. Thank you for those speakers who have signed up to address the commission today. As a reminder, our responses, if any, are limited to factual information or recitation of existing. Commissioners may not engage in a back and forth discussion with our public speakers, and any discussion between commissioners is reserved for the commission's. So with that, we'd like to start with Sarah Sinkle from the Healthy Ports Commission. Good morning. Speaking on item 6, channel infrastructure.
Yes. Good morning, commissioners. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Yes. I'm Sarah Sinkle with the Healthy Port Communities Coalition. We have some questions about item 7, the proposed memorandum of agreement authorizing the placement of dredge material at the Rosa Island placement area in Pasadena. Our coalition supports economic investment in the Houston Ship Channel. We've had a long time relationship with Port Houston. What we don't support is asking communities to bear unnecessary health and safety risks when the Rosa Island placement area is not an empty tract of land. It is surrounded by. And under the current proposal, the site is expected to receive dredge material for decades. We've talked to numerous of your experts about this. An independent engineering review conducted by Empson Consulting, the project's planning and design, critical life safety analysis have yet to be completed, including risk assessments, self-stability analysis that really account for future conditions, wind subsidence, and slope, and extreme rainfall events. We're talking about hurricanes, but we're also talking about the rain, such as the one that we experienced last week. Mr. Henry, I know you're from Galena Park, and you must know about the floods and the incoming rainfall that is expected to come later this week. These placement areas have experienced failures in the past. Last year at East Clinton, we've discussed this with the channel infrastructure team, and even though this bill was contained, it proves that it's happened before and that it can happen again. And so before approving this agreement, HPCCU is really asking for some transparency from Port Houston such as where's the life safety risk assessment for Rosa Allen? Where is the independent safety assurance review required for high-risk facilities? How will the contaminated materials, stormwater runoff, and long-term monitoring be managed? And then why are safer alternatives not being considered? I know that's a subsection of the comment policy said that it's defined as most efficient. We'd really like some clarification as what most efficient means for this decision. We understand that this decision regarding the usage of DMPAs also is made by Army Corps, but Port Houston has the ability to work with community and transparency when the Army Corps fails to do so. And we really like to have an informed and well-educated community on this issue. We don't believe that a community should have to accept risk because it's less expensive than not using alternative measures. And as HPCC, we'd like to urge the commission to vote to postpone action until all required safety reviews have been completed and the surrounding communities have been engaged. Thank you for your time and for your consideration. I yield the rest of my time for questions, if any.
Thank you. All right. Second speaker is Juliana Hernandez.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm Juliana Hernandez with Airlines Houston, and I'm here to make some comments relating to item 6. The authorization of a memorandum of understanding with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for emergency dredging of the Houston Ship Channel. While we understand that the U.S. Army Corps' new Building Infrastructure, Not Paperwork initiative aims to reduce red tape, streamline permitting, and create faster project delivery, we don't believe that project efficiency should come at the expense of a most well-informed and educated community. We'd like to know information pertaining to the following questions. One, what would constitute emergency draft restriction scenarios? Furthermore, what would be the difference between this type of scenario versus normal operations and maintenance dredging? Two, where would the dredge material that qualifies under these scenarios be placed? Three, how can the surrounding community be engaged when these actions occur and or have access to the proper documentation? Like my colleague Sara Cinco mentioned, Airlines Houston stands with HPCC in advocating for alternative measures that don't dump dredged material into placement sites that are. We'd appreciate any additional information you have to share with the community, and thank you for your time.
Moving on to next item to follow. Going to, Mike Schaffner for our Section F executive items.
Good morning, commissioners. Quick update further to Charlie's comments regarding future terminal capacity. The permit application for a third container terminal at Barber's Cut North is proceeding as planned. Certainly the Fast 41 process is assisting with that. While in parallel, we continue to evaluate alternatives to ensure we're ready to accomplish the goal of delivering additional container capacity on time. There's a significant amount of planning that needs to be completed, and now is the time for action. I'm seeking approval for the establishment of a project management office, which will provide access to subject matter expertise and project management support throughout the project life cycle. Of the five RFQ responses that were received, reviewed, and evaluated, Moffitt and Nickel was ranked as the most highly qualified proposal to perform project management owner services for a future container terminal. Establishing Moffitt and Nickel as a project management office will provide the necessary expertise and supplemental resources to deliver this new space and capacity on time and as efficiently as possible. With that, I ask for your approval on item F1.
So moved. Second.
Favor.
Aye.
Item passes. Next item, F2, Parker.
Morning, commissioners. I have one item, F2, a proposed AI policy. Port Houston is taking a measured approach to artificial intelligence, framing adoption as a strategic balancing act between the transformative potential of AI tools to drive efficiency and value in our work on the one hand and the risks they pose on the other. This requires oversight, controls, and a phased implementation to ensure we reap the benefits. Item F2, the Port Commission's AI policy, is the first step in that journey and sets the stage for staff-level governance, including training and a rigorous process before they are introduced into our technology environment. This policy is intended to ensure the secure, ethical, lawful, and risk-informed use and oversight of AI tools. It also complies with the Texas Responsible Artificial Intelligence Governance Act, which imposes certain oversight obligations upon the Port Commission. With respect, if there are no questions, I would request your approval of item F2.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Parker. All right, moving on to item G, Carrick.
Good morning, Madam Chairwoman and Commissioners. We have three items on the agenda today, and I will highlight. For many years, Port Houston has utilized legislative state and federal levels to assist us with our advocacy. We've been very successful. For example, this spring, we secured $112 million for operation and maintenance of the Houston Ship Channel. Contracts for Port Houston's two federal consultants are on today's agenda at in G3. The first contract is for Pendulum Strategies. Michael Frazier, who has been a federal legislative consultant for Port Houston since 2001. The other contract is for Cassidy and Associates, Charles Brittingham. Cassidy and Associates was added to the team in 2019 to specifically assist with the Houston Ship Channel expansion project, the GOP members of Congress, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Charles Brittingham has served as our main point of contact with the Cassidy team since 2019. If there are no questions, I ask for approval of items G1 through G3.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Moving on to channel infrastructure, Amy.
Good morning, Port Commissioners. I'm presenting on behalf of Lori Brownell, who is attending the Western Dredging Association conference this week. My name is Amy Gavin, and I've been at the port since February of this year. And my background is in environmental management of water resource projects, specifically local, state, and federal regulations. We would like to start with some updates from the infrastructure team. In late June, Port Houston received a 5-year federal permit from the Army Corps of Engineers that authorizes Port Houston as the non-federal sponsor to conduct emergency dredge or bed leveling of shoals in pending or active draft restriction scenarios within the federal channel. And a memorandum of understanding associated with this permit update is included. Although this is an exciting milestone, we are also still working on the ability to get reimbursement for this effort as the maintenance of the Houston Ship Channel is a federal responsibility. So this month, Channel Infrastructure has 13 agenda items, H1, for consideration and approval. Item H1 and H3 are focused on contract awards to streamline professional and engineering services for channel projects, specifically Bayport East End Design and a general service task order-based contract. And we would like to recognize or acknowledge that Mr. Brady Bryant with Gahagan and Bryant Associates is in attendance. Item H2 supports the Barber's Cut Northside Expansion Project through an award for environmental and permitting services. And we would also like to recognize that Mr. Tony Risco of Friesa Nichols is in attendance. Items H6 and H7 focus on agreements with the Army Corps of Engineers through a memorandum of understanding to support Section 408 cross implementing the Houston Ship Channel emergency dredge permit and a memorandum of agreement to support channel dredging maintenance and material placement. Items H8 through 10 are renewal of pipeline leases and energy. Items H11 through 13 are replacement or new docks to support our park. And if there are no questions, I respectfully ask for approval of items H1 through 13.
If there's any questions, and I'll show recused on time.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Moving on to commercial, Mr. Mosley.
Good morning, Madam Chair, fellow commissioners. John Mosley, Chief Commercial Officer. We're pleased to report that Houston's industrial real estate market remains resilient. Demand for services at the public terminals is solid, and our efforts to further diversify our customer portfolio continue to yield positive results. Earlier this month, I joined our Trade Development Director, Eric Holbeck, along with our local commercial representative based in Latin America, and visited customers in Panama, Guatemala, and Costa Rica. We are making progress in developing new cargo opportunities for our public terminals, particularly in the fresh produce import segment, with new business and increased ocean carrier service capacity. If there are no questions, I will move on to our single agenda item for July. We have one item for your consideration today. Item I-1 is a request to ratify a month-to-month lease with the Port of Houston Credit Union. When the credit union's lease was up for renewal a year ago, we converted to a month-to-month term to allow for flexibility to decide a workable future location for the credit union. With that, I'm seeking your approval for commercial division item I-1.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, John. All right, moving on to finance, Chris.
Good morning, Chair, members of the Commission. I'm Christopher Edwards, Interim Chief Financial Officer. Finance brings two items for consideration today, but first, with no Commission meeting in June, a brief reading of the full first half of 2026. Brief reading. The short story, the first quarter economics created a hole against our 2026 plan, and May and June climbed us most of the way out. Q1 headwinds, soft steel imports, weaker storage revenue, and slow April container throughput at Port Houston facilities opened the gap. But the last 2 months have answered the bell. A record throughput at Port Houston facilities in May was followed by a strong June. June operating revenue of $62.1 million ran 10% ahead of last year, and storage revenue turned positive year over year for the first time since January 2026. Steel imports have nearly doubled off of their January low, which is remarkable and wonderful. Mr. Mariocher will speak to throughput and tonnage in his report. So at the half, operating revenue of $355.7 million is 2.6% ahead of last year and 2.2% behind planned. Disciplined spending remains our commitment, with operating expenses running $5 million favorable to plan. Year-to-date, net operating cash flow stands at $3.9 million, or 2% behind plan, significantly improved from April's deficit. And Q2 cash collections recovered from the next-gen post-go-live and came in strong in the second quarter, with cash and investments ending the first half at $947 million. So in summary, we made up a lot of ground against our plan in the second quarter, but we are not all the way home. And a strong second half will take work, but we are gaining speed, we're spending with discipline, and strategically positioned to close the gap by year end. Should we see, and we're dependent upon, improved and sustained cargo flows at the Port of Houston facilities. So our finance division has two items for you for approval. They're focused on strengthening our analytical capabilities and elevating the quality of our financial reporting. Item J1 requests authority to issue a purchase order not to exceed $500,627 for the license and build-out of a Workiva financial reporting software upgrade within our next-gen environment. This platform will anchor the production of our ACFR, our pension, and our OPEB external financial statements, and additionally strengthen the analytical rigor behind our internal and external reporting. The sourcing and procurement, just as a quick note, was executed through the Department of Information Resources Cooperative Program, Purchasing Program. That's a mouthful. Item J2 is a change order with Definion Data LLC, another strategic next-gen partner who has to date guided our data governance and the build-out of the Port Houston Data Lakehouse. This 17-month extension and scope change for an amount not to charts the next leg of the data backbone build-out and reporting project, with the goal of delivering trusted, one source, one truth, and one language, enterprise reporting and dashboards to our divisions, our chiefs, our executive leadership, and to this commission. I will pause for any questions you may have.
Questions?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
All right. We ask for approval of J1 and J2.
We got you. Thank you, Chris.
Okay, already done.
I have an efficient. All right, moving on to infrastructure, Jawan.
Good morning, Madam Chairwoman and Commissioners. My name is Jawan Cole. I'm the Managing Director of Port. Just a real quick update on the PCM team. Currently, we have approximately $665 million. In progress that's been executed by the PCM team in support of the growth of Port Houston and the service to our customers and colleagues. Today, we're presenting 9 RCAs for your approval. I will now highlight items K2, K3 through 5, K7, K8, and K9. Item 2, K2. This requests approval and award of a construction contract for the construction of a new fire station at the Barber's Cut Terminal. This new facility will provide a permanent home for our Port Fire Department at that location. Items K3, 4, and 5. These items support the WARS 5 and 6 reconstruction project at the Barber's Cut Terminal, which will strengthen the WARS to support 100-gauge ship-to-shore cranes, which can service larger container ships than the cranes that previously have been used throughout Barber's Cut. This work will also extend the useful life of the facilities and will complete the planned wharf reconstruction at the terminal. Item K7 requests approval of a change order to perform additional work associated with the WARS 20 and 21 project at the Turning Basin Terminal. Item K8 requests approval of a change order to perform additional work associated with the construction of the new Port Coordination Center, also known as the PCC facility, at the Turning Basin Terminal. And item K9 requests approval of a change order to perform additional work associated with the construction of Wharf 1 at the Bayport Container Terminal. With that, I can address any questions. Otherwise, we are seeking approval of items K1 through K9.
Commissioners, any questions? That approval of 1 through 9, and I'll recuse on 1.
Move to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you.
Follow maintenance.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Chairwoman and Commissioners, I'd like to share a brief update before we cover our agenda items. We completed commissioning of cranes 202 to 12. 221 and 222. This brings to 21 the number of ship-to-shore cranes operating at Bayport. You see a nice shot there of the cranes in operation. These cranes arrived in April 8th, and they are now available to operation. So big shout out to maintenance, operations, construction, and the stevedoring companies that play a critical role in this process. And shout out to Commander Hugh Moore for taking that nice operating the drone and taking the nice pictures. Those nice pictures right there. All right. We seek approval for a total of $13.2 million. Maintenance contracts and 2 equipment purchases. Okay. I'd like to focus on the 2 equipment purchases, which are items L7 and L9. L7 is the purchase of 6 empty container handling machines for empty container handling operations at Barber's Cut that should begin later this year, and these machines are for that operation. And L9 is to purchase 162 smart water meters port-wide. and this will assist us in tracking water consumption, early detection of leaks, and so on and so forth. We established a pilot program with 10 of those smart meters with success, and now we seek to expand that program. Okay, just better water management overall. If there are no questions, I'd like to present items L1 through L9 for your review and consideration.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Brian, operations.
Morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Three items on the agenda today for ops, but first I wanted to provide you with a few. First, over the weekend, we successfully upgraded N4, our terminal operating system provided by Caleres. This is a major milestone for our container operations, supporting the upcoming implementation of our new customer access portal and additional enhancements to truck appointments. This was a tremendous undertaking and cross-functional effort led by Joey Perdue, and supported by a large group of internal resources and contract software engineers. Consider us the duck on the pond, calmly moving forward, while below the surface, these folks were paddling like crazy to ensure efficient cargo fluidity continues, like what you see right here today. A big thank you to everyone involved to make this possible. Over the last several months, I've used the words uncertain and volatile to describe our performance. Today, I'd like to leave you with a different tone and use the word resilient. Through the first half of the year, tonnage at our public terminals is up 3%, Charlie mentioned, handling over 28 million tons with a strong Q2 performance containers that I'll hit on. Year-to-date tonnage at our multipurpose facilities remains up 5%, despite a decline in overall tonnage in recent months. Steel volumes continue to fluctuate, down overall 14% of the year, but we've seen slight increases in recent months. Dry bulk and liquid bulk also remain inconsistent, but are up 9 and 16% respectively. Break bulk cargoes are contributing to growth, now up 20% year-to-date, with strong performance at Northside Churning Basin, Jacinto Port, and Woodhouse. Container volumes have rebounded since my last update, and I'm pleased to report the total loaded volumes at Bayport and Barber's Cut are trending the same, also up about 3%. This rebound was driven by a record month in May, as Chris mentioned, and a subsequent strong June. Interestingly, imports continue to drive our growth as exports remain essentially flat through the year. July mid-month volumes are proving to be soft up to this point, and more detail will be provided next month. I'd like to bring your attention back to the agenda. Three items again for your consideration today, including a request to amend our tariffs, one, to clarify our processes for resolving delinquent, two, to define new rate structures for the handling and storage of non-standardized container types. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Otherwise, I request your approval for M1 through M3.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right, people, this month we have no items. Moving forward.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Congratulations again.
Thank you very much. This month I have four items for consideration, each supporting our clients. The first item is approval to acquire wetland stream mitigation credits from Stream Bank. Is a requirement to support the construction of the Bayport Southern Access Road. The next two items are for purchases for replacement vehicles. One is the fire department battalion chief and the other for our fire hazmat response vehicle, which we use to respond to incidents involving both Port Houston facilities and surrounding mutual aid jurisdictions. The final item is a request to increase an existing purchase order for fire extinguisher inspections, maintenance, and replacements, ensuring continued compliance and reliability for critical life safety programs. If there are no further questions, I respectfully request your approval of these four items.
Good.
All in favor? Thank you.
Aye.
Moving on to strategy. Kathleen.
Good morning, Madam Chairwoman and Commissioners. My name is Kathleen Weisenberger, and since January of this year, I have served the court as your director. I am presenting today on behalf of our strategy division. We have no items for approval. However, I would like to share with you our organization's progress towards our Q2 strategic initiative. As you'll recall, you have a strategic plan that's summarized on the screen in front of you. And I am pleased to report that across the organization, our teams are progressing exceptionally well for strategic priorities. All of our targets are on track to meet their respective time. All targets are aligned, as you will recall, to the 7 C's, channel, cargo, change, connection, community, culture, and capital. A few updates that I would like to highlight for you this quarter include Workday Adaptive Planning went live on June 30th. This platform replaces our previous system for financial planning. It is a modern system integrated with our other Workday platforms for greater efficiency and transparency. Also, the Anchored in Action Community Investment Plan was launched with a well-attended, which several of you were able to attend. A draft charter has been shared with our industry working group for their feedback. Requests for proposals have been issued for services to complete a. This will address all Port Houston facilities and assets. The scope will evaluate terminal configuration, operational flexibility, infrastructure requirements, access, utilities, phasing, and long-term capacity needs. A permit application for the Barber's Cut North Terminal 10th, and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers determination of the environmental impact statement document was made on June 5th. These initiatives follow our commitments to champion local opportunities, maximize capacity and competitiveness, and ensure fiscal responsibility. I'm open to answer any questions you may have on our 2026.
Do you have any questions? And there's so much happening here, but thank you for highlighting Anchored in Action. That was a great event. Thank you to Maria and all the team for that. I know we'll talk a little bit about it later in the committee, but that was a great event. So thank you for highlighting that.
Thank you.
So the Anchored in Action falls in this chart here under the community area. Is that?
It's one of the, I guess what we call it,
one of the
engagement.
Yeah, under the
program.
Community.
Yeah. All right, moving on to technology, James.
Good morning, Chairwoman and Commissioners. My name is James O'Brien, and I am the Information Security Officer representing the Technology Division. The Technology Division has 11 items to present for your approval today. Items Q1 through Q3 support next-gen cybersecurity programs. Q1 and Q2 are port security grant funded with a 75%, 25% match. The grants support the build out of the required information security for operational technology at both container terminals. Q3 is the renewal of the firewall maintenance services to ensure continued protection, vendor support, security updates, and operational reliability for the organization's edge protection infrastructure. Q11 continues to maintain our threat detection and response capabilities while implementing enhanced AI security and identity protections. These technical safeguards reduce cybersecurity risk while maintaining focus on Port Houston's mission. Items Q4 through Q7 represent strategic investments in Port Houston's IT infrastructure. Q4 and Q5 are the needed technology for the new construction at Barber's Cut Exit Gate and CY7 North to ensure optimal operations. Q6 leverages port security grant funding, again through a 75-25% cost share, to implement a video wall at the new PCC command center, which will enhance situational awareness and emergency response capabilities. And finally, Q11 involves the assessment and modernization of the port's current private cellular wireless network, positioning the environment for the mitigation to private 5G and future technologies. This will ensure reliable, secure, and scalable connectivity across all terminals. Items Q8 through Q10 support the next-gen ERP. These are amendments and change orders to support the delivery of Pillar 3 of our ERP system, next-gen ERP, with a heavy focus on Maximo and the integration with Workday. The next-gen ERP program is going extremely well, and these change orders will support the additional time required to implement the Maximo application for Port Houston's maintenance the right way. If there are no questions, I'd like to offer items Q1 through Q11 for your consideration and approval.
I had a question. The cost sharing, the 75-25, who is that sharing with?
FEMA is the holder of the grant.
Oh, okay.
And Port Houston's the other side. So FEMA supports 75%. After completion, we submit a request for reimbursement up to 75% of the purchase. And then 25% for Port Houston.
I got you.
Commissioners, any other questions? All right, with that, approval for
Go move.
11.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, now we will recess for executive session. Parker? Oh, excuse me. I do want to keep going. I do want to acknowledge we have Commissioners Campbell and Fitzgerald who have joined us as well. So thank you, gentlemen. All right, Parker, all you.
All right, here's my speed reading for the day. It is now, I can read my watch, 9:22 a.m. Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority of Harris County, Texas will now convene in a closed meeting to conduct a consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding complaint of down quarks claims of Curtin Maritime, claims of Tanika Chukamarija, proposed amendments to agreements for legal services provided by Andrews Myers and Best and Krieger, and certain Port Commission meeting governance items, and deliberate regarding real estate, including deliberations regarding Allison Bay vicinity property, economic development negotiations or incentives, employment and evaluation of public employees, including and other related matters and security related matters. The Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
All in one breath.
I think those micro machine commercials from the auctioneer.
From the radio.
Avatar.
That was awesome.
It's killing it.
Yeah. Oh, she's in Ryan. Well, I have no mission permission today. Doing good today.
Yeah. All those
items. What's that? It's crazy.